Well, let's take your calculus of defining yourself, defining the opponent, and defining the stakes, and apply it to this campaign, to the senatorial primary, because I was not impressed. I watched the debate. I wrote about this. I watched the debate, and Fetterman was horrible in the debate. But I do feel like you cannot define John Fetterman. He is so when I apply your calculus, I feel like that's why he's apparently headed for a landslide. Is that?
Yeah, you know, here's a guy. Think about this, Larry. The guy was mayor of
Braddock.
Braddock. I was going to say Brockton. He's mayor of Braddock. Population 2,180. A tiny little borough, smaller than Narberth, half the size of the borough of Narberth.
That's amazing.
In Allegheny County. He, from there, has the guts to run in a Democratic primary in 2016 for the United States Senate with the endorsed candidate Katie McGinney and Joe Sestak, who had won the Democratic nomination in 2010 for Senate, beating Arlen Specter, who switched and only lost to Toomey by 2 points. And he gets in and he gets 23% of the vote. But he took the progressive lane. He made himself the progressive in that race. And he started to define himself statewide as this bigger than life, interesting figure. A, because of the way he looks. B, because of the way he dresses. And C, because of the way he talks. Then he never stops running. He takes on an unpopular lieutenant governor in Mike Stack, who with the, you know, just had a horrible term as lieutenant governor. I mean, how do you have a horrible term as lieutenant governor? You know, it's impossible. No one knows who lieutenant governors are, except for Catherine Baker Knoll, who used to introduce Ed Rendell, who's Ed's middle initial is G. She always mistakenly, or because I think it was, she always, when she introduced Edward G. Rendell, she always called him Edward G. Robinson. No, but, you know, he just keeps on running and he gets, you know, he wins the nomination and of course he becomes lieutenant governor. And as lieutenant governor, it's not like he gets tons of press. He doesn't overshadow Wolf, but he moves around the state talking about marijuana reform and, you know, the other stuff he does. There's only one thing you do as lieutenant governor besides preside over the Senate, which is to head the board of pardons, the Board of Prisons. And, you know, he does that, but he continues to define himself over a period of 6 years from the time he gets in the race in 16 to now as this interesting progressive who's different than everybody, who wears shorts and a hoodie and all this other stuff. And so when the Democratic primary voter has moved much further left than they did even 10 years ago, I mean, they're way out to the left now. And because you look at all the primaries that people have won, you know, both locally and statewide, Democratic primaries have moved to the left. You know, Fetterman has that lane. On top of it, you have Connor Lamb, who's, you know, a great guy who everybody likes and is a terrific guy and runs and has a terrific CV and runs in really tough districts and really tough years and wins tough races. But he's from the Pittsburgh media market and no one knows him here. And it takes an awful lot of money to break through. And he's not been able to break through. And Malcolm Kenyatta is just sort of still a minor guy because he hasn't been able to advertise on TV, which is going to allow Fetterman to win probably but certainly, as you said, by a landslide. He's going to get more, you know, four people are on the ballot. He's going to end up with more than 50% of the vote in a four-way.
Why did all of the sort of smart establishment political people line up with, just about all of them line up with Connor Lamb, though? You had Jim Kenney, you had the City Democratic Party, Brady, Brian Boyer.
I think they're very uncomfortable with, first of all, I mean, there was an article today in the Inquirer where Fetterman doesn't even have much relationship with most of the state senators and state house people that he literally serves with, that he's there with every single day. You know, you walk on the floor of the state senate, there are only 20 Democratic state senators there. So, I mean, they should be your best friend. You can talk about the Steelers and the Eagles. You can talk about the Phillies or the, you can talk about anything. You don't have to talk about something that makes people uncomfortable. He's evidently Tommy McDonald, who used to work in my office and now works for the Wynn Company, which is the New York political consulting firm started by Bill Hires, who actually managed Nutter's primary campaign here, says that Fetterman is kind of shy, that underneath he's kind of shy. And I don't think that he has reached out and has the relationships that, you know, that lots of other, quote, pals have. And Conor Lamb decided, well, you know, I'm going to reach out to these people. Not that they can, at the top of the ticket, Larry, as you know, no one can deliver anything for anybody. I mean, does city committee mean something at the lower end of the ticket for judges? Absolutely. Judges' races and stuff like that. But at the top end of the ticket, when millions of dollars are spent on TV, when there are articles written in the newspapers all the time, when stuff is online, when, you know, when there are debates, it's really hard if a Democratic committee person on election day says, you know, hi, Mrs. Jones, I'm Larry Platt. I'm your committee person in the 5th Ward, 8th Division. Here's our sample ballot. Can you make sure you vote for Conor Lamb today? Mrs. Jones is going to look at you like you have three heads. Now, at the lower end of the ticket, for when there are 24 people running for 8 common pleas court judgeships and you have no idea what's going on, that sample ballot might mean something to you if you have a relationship with your committee person. But at the top end of the ticket, it means nothing. You know, so what I think Fetterman has to do is I think he's got a, you know, he was not good in the debates. The Inquirer did not endorse him. I mean, there are, you know, I think he's got to pick his game up so that at the defining moments of the campaign, he is a little bit better.